Good morning, everyone. Just want to start with a bit of a confession. It's a confession of God's mercy, so it's okay. Quite some time ago, it was the coffee break, I saw someone who was a new guy here, and I thought, look, go up and introduce myself and welcome them. So I went up to this person and said, so, is it your first week here? And Ed said to me, no, I've been coming here for about 6 months so far. So I recovered the next week and saw Ed again and said, welcome to your second week here. But through the week, I actually outdid myself, talking to this lovely lady. She's a teacher at Maranatha. We had a lot to talk about because, you know, she's been on the mission to Thailand, so lots of people were talking about the Ferraccios and Jess and Candace, and lovely conversation, really blessed to speak to this lady, Michelle. And then someone came up to me afterwards and said, yeah, she's been coming to her church for a bit now. I thought, oh, not again. Is Michelle here today? Good. So, Michelle, if you're listening to this recording of the sermon, you've been missed, okay? So, oh, dear. How's everyone going with their New Testament reading? Good, excellent. And just, has anyone really found that they've read something that they hadn't read before or taken on before? Just put your hand up if you've really... That's great to see. What a great task Jeff set us on, hey? And Jeff's been an incredible blessing to our community. But I've got another confession to make. There's something myself and Jeff don't see eye to eye on. It's the cricket. You were really worried, weren't you, when I said that? But how can he, living in our country, a bringer of good news to Australia, not follow our cricket team? Okay, granted, most of us have had some difficulty through the summer following our own cricket team, but surely that when you come into this country, it should be a law that you've got to follow the Australian cricket team, no matter how bad they are. But admittedly, if I moved to England, that would be different. I mean, how could I follow the English cricketers? I'm proudly Australian. But maybe to be a little bit more serious and maybe a little bit more spirit-led, the question is, as Christians at Berwick Vineyard Church, where does our allegiance really lay? Where's the place we belong to? Where does the Bible say our citizenship is? Well, Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. Well done. Now, that's interesting, because often we're described as Western Christians. We're often proud to be Australian. In fact, we're often thankful to be in Australia, particularly as we look around the world to see some of the things happening. But if our citizenship is in heaven, there must be consequences for our understanding of where we are now. Now, the Apostle Peter, when he was writing to his audience who was spread right out through the world, he addresses his audience and he addresses them like this. He says that they are aliens and strangers in the world. So we're citizens of heaven and we're aliens and strangers in this world. The Apostle Paul, he reminds us that those in Christ, that they are no longer Jews nor Gentiles. For those in Christ, there's no longer Jews or Gentiles. He says there's no longer Greeks, barbarians, or Scythians. Now, as you read through your New Testament, you're going, what on earth is a Scythian? A Scythian was what the Greeks called the rural savages of the barbarians. And the barbarians were just people who didn't speak Greek. So essentially, there's no Jews or Gentiles or Greeks or anyone else. In Christ, there's no one circumcised or uncircumcised. There's no one enslaved or free. And just to make it really difficult, as you read some of Paul's other writings, in Christ there's no male or female either. There's no distinction between believers. There's many parts, but there's one body and there's one people. And in 1 Peter, it says that we are now a chosen people. We're a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And it says this, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of the darkness into the wonderful light. The only thing of contrast in this holy nation, in this one body, amongst all the believers, is the differing gifts and acts of service, all done by the one Spirit for the one God. We are all citizens of heaven. We are strangers and aliens in this world, and we all have a purpose in God. Now, as I walk up and down here, there's a big dip in the carpet. I'm going to trip at some stage, so this is a bit of a more serious sermon, so when I go over, you get the opportunity to laugh, okay? So, now, we know Jesus was not of this world, don't we? Cool. Jesus was sent into the world with a purpose. And in the Gospel of John, it says that just as Jesus was sent in the world with a purpose by the Father, so Jesus sends us. And Jesus in Matthew 28 tells us what this mission, what this purpose, what this sending is. It's to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. Now, most of you at BCF are aware that Karen, now where's Karen? Hello, Karen. Is preparing to head out as a missionary to the Philippines. Karen is committing her life, or I've just committed it for her, her strength, her resources, and her gifts and her talents to do this. She'll go as an alien and a stranger to the Philippines to take and be good news to those people. But just as God is sending her, God also sends all of us. He sends all of us. We all have a purpose. We all have a mission. Sent as aliens and strangers to this world. But we're not of this world. Colossians tells us that with Christ we died to the ways of the world. Romans tells us therefore to no longer conform to the ways of this world. Well, I wonder why that is. 1 John tells us that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Revelation tells us that the evil one leads the whole world astray. So it sort of makes sense in the Gospel of Matthew when it says that you can't serve God and the things of this world. It'll be one or it'll be the other. And good old James, he just puts it plain bluntly. He says, if your friendship is with this world, that if you're close to the things of this world, then you're an enemy of God. Now, this all might sound a little confusing, particularly as you understand that Jesus is a friend of the prostitute, the sinner, and the tax collector. By the way, next time you call up the ATO, just remind them of that. It gets a good response. But you see, that's not what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about relationship with the world. It's talking about worldliness. It's talking about partnering with people of the world so closely that we become worldly. We are not to be worldly. We are not to be backing the ways of this world. We are to be aliens and strangers in this world. Or as the New King James says it says to be sojourners and pilgrims. And my own little translation is that we're to be backpackers for Jesus. Have you ever observed a backpacker from overseas? They clearly stand out. Either the way they speak or act, or their mannerisms. By these things that they show that they clearly do not fit into the culture that they're travelling through. Backpackers travel light in a foreign land. Their possessions are just what are essential for the trip. They carry only what they can take for their journey. They're on an adventure. They don't know where they'll be tomorrow, what relationships will spark off, and where they'll be. Do you know, a person once came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." What was Jesus' response? He said, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head." He said, even the animals have a place to call home, but I don't. Have you ever noticed that as you read through the Gospels, that it talks about Jesus' hometown, where he grew up, but it never talks about his home or his house? There's no place he called home in Judea or Galilee. There's no stories, for example, where Jesus took some people back to his house, for example. Well, actually, there was probably someone that he invited back to his place on the cross that day. Now, you might say, well, Gareth, Jesus had an itinerant ministry. But I just wonder. I wonder if it's more of a case that Jesus was able to be led by the Holy Spirit. And he had nothing to shackle him down or hold him back from walking in step with the Spirit. Hey, but maybe Jesus did just have an itinerant ministry. But it is interesting that when he first sends out the 12, followed by sending out the 72, he sends them out just with the clothes that they're wearing. That's what I call extreme backpacking. They packed nothing. Except they packed the power of Jesus' name. I wonder what it's like to be free of these things that slow us down from our mission or our purpose. And to walk in a faith that our material needs, let's clarify, our needs, not our wants, are met by our Heavenly Father. Now, some of what I might be saying today might be really shocking for people if their viewpoint is that they can just be another person in Berwickinite surrounds who so happens to have only difference that they believe in Jesus. But you see, for example, you can't have Westerners who so happen to be Christians. The truth is, there's no such thing as a Western Christian. It's a false label. There are only citizens of heaven who are on an assignment into various parts of the world. There are only those who serve God or those who serve the ways of the world. Those in Christ are aliens and strangers in this world. But maybe some on their mission, as they've travelled along, think that they've found the Jordan and gone, ah, the promised land, and they've settled. Let's face it, Australia's an amazing country. But careful, be careful to decide that you were blessed to be born here. Because Australia is not the promised land. There are only those who have been sent on mission to Australia or those who have settled into its worldliness. Australia is not our home. Heaven is. Jesus didn't send his disciples or us into the world to settle any part of it. Jesus sends us on a mission into all the world that the good news will be preached to all of creation. Don't settle for anything less. Amen? Have you ever noticed that backpackers tend not to accumulate much stuff as they travel through a land? It'd be silly, wouldn't it? For example, they can't take it home with them, and it would just slow them down on their journey. If you've been around Karen across the last few months, you'll have noticed that she's been downscaling lots of her things as she prepares for her pilgrimage to the Philippines. She's been downing her possessions because they only would be a huge anchor to what God has called her to do. It's madness to the world. But you see, her security is in Jesus, isn't it, Karen? Which is madness to the world. And it's madness to worldly thinking. Karen's retirement plan, her superannuation is in heaven, a place where the moths or the rusts can't destroy. Not even the global financial crisis can make it there. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a superannuation fund here. It's fine for us to use resources found here for the work of the kingdom. But Paul says this in Corinthians. He says, to those that use things of this world, they should do so as though not engrossed by them. Because in the big picture, they're not going to last. Like backpackers, we need to remember we can't take stuff back from Australia to our heavenly home. 1 Timothy 6:7 says this, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." There's no possessions which will make it into heaven. So I don't think possessions constitute a wise investment for those who are citizens of heaven. But you know what? I think in a sense there is something we can take back from this land to heaven with us. Those we lead to faith. Have you ever noticed that backpackers tend to have a lot of charisma about them? It's things about their culture which draw us in. It draws us to want to go and see, maybe even visit this place that they come from. The way they talk and act draws you in. What they share of home entices you to want to go. Wouldn't that be exciting if, as people meet us who are citizens of heaven, they are drawn to our culture and want to enter into it? Now, please don't think this is one of those messages which says the world's had it. God's not to be found here. The clock's just ticking. We just need to get out as fast as we can, maybe plucking a couple from the flames. Because what does Psalm 24 say? It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." It says that the world and all who live in it are the Lord's. And you know what? That's the reality that the world has been deprived of and what the evil one is capitalising on. 2 Corinthians tells us that we have a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile people of the world to God. Matthew 5, it tells us that we need to be the light of the world and that we need to let our light shine before men that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. What an awesome purpose, to act in a manner to lead people to worship. It might be a bit of a shock to Beck and the team to find out that we're all worship leaders. Amen? Backpackers intrigue people with the place that they come from for a good reason. They bring some of it with them. And that's something we're supposed to be doing, bringing parts of heaven to earth so that people may know this God to be reconciled to. We need to be citizens of heaven in Melbourne, Christians in Melbourne, not people of Melbourne. You see, because the people of Melbourne don't work by signs and wonders, but the citizens of heaven, that's us, do. And one of the hot topics in Christian circles at the moment is about God's kingdom coming on earth, or heaven invading earth is another expression. Has anyone heard a sermon or read a book or something like that on that? Matthew 6:10 from the Lord's Prayer. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now there's some great transformation happening through this movement, because it's changing Christians from being in lockdown mode, just waiting for the clock to tick to get out of here, to understand that there's an opportunity to see more of the fullness of God right now, an abundance of the kingdom at work, closeness to the presence of God now, to have a life and life to the full, as Jesus said, John 10:10. That's good stuff, isn't it? But I just want to bring a slight challenge here at this point. And I brought my chosen tool for slight challenges for around the home. So people listen to the CD sometimes and go, "What were you doing there?" And I go, "I don't know." But it's just like, it's not a big challenge today anyway. Because you see, I'm starting to wonder whether in the excitement of the thought of heaven invading earth, whether some people have actually read the next line in the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What's next? "Give us today our daily bread." So the quest that follows seeing heaven on earth is this: "You, Lord, be the supplier of even my basic needs, and at a day-to-day subsistence level. Lord, I want to see your kingdom come on earth, and as part of this, I make you the provider even of the basics of my life. at the point of what I just immediately need for today. Not my will on earth, Lord, but yours. I want you, Lord, to come in power. I want your will to be done. I want to be part of this radical thing, and I want it to be so radical that I'll have to be dependent day to day for my basic needs. But if someone can't make sense of that because they've got storehouses full of stuff, just maybe they've confused the riches of the kingdom for the treasuries of the world. You know, small parts of this movement for kingdom on earth now, they'll tell you that as heaven invades earth, that we'll become like kings. And Paul really understood this royalty of Jesus who was crucified. Paul understood heaven invading earth through him as he was imprisoned, as he was flogged, as he was beaten, as he was stoned, as he went without sleep or food or clothes. He describes himself in 2 Corinthians at this point as having become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. Because his citizenship and his crown were in heaven. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Hey, but maybe Paul just had an itinerant ministry like Jesus, and like the 12, and like the 72, and like everyone else. Don't be misled by the evil one. You're on a mission. You have a purpose. And it's as heavenly as Karen's. In fact, it can be as outrageous as Karen's because God will provide for your basic needs in it. Amen? Don't be worldly because we're free of that stuff. We don't try and keep up with the Joneses. Now, if you're really pleased with me, I actually got the church directory out and checked there's no Joneses. There's no Joneses visiting today, is there? The Joneses way is the way of the world. We're free from that stuff. We've been raised beyond that way. This is what it says in Colossians 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things of above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Our hearts and our minds need to be set on Jesus. Don't get caught up in worldliness. Do you know in Corinthians it tells us that in all of the wisdom of the world, it doesn't even know God. Worldliness estranges us from God, so we don't want to be part of that, do we? In fact, Paul says that when he first went to the Corinthians himself, he didn't come with wise or persuasive words. He just came with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. He resolved to know nothing while he was with them except for Jesus and him crucified. That's something out of this world, isn't it? That's what the people of Berwick need, isn't it? Or the kids who go to this school. They need something from out of this world. They don't need other people of Berwick who just believe something. They need people in Berwick who bring something forth. Amen? Berwick doesn't need more people who think like them or live like them. They need people who have the mind and the heart of Christ. They need people who come with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, what's going to happen this week? Will this week be a week where someone goes into a bigger house, buys a new car, a bigger TV, or someone makes a buck on eBay or the stocks or the shares? Will it be a week where people serve worldly treasures? Or it will be one where the treasures of heaven are carried and deposited by the citizens of heaven among Berwick and the surrounding suburbs? Is it going to be a week where the kingdom walks through Berwick? Will a suicidal person receive abundant life this week? Will someone who's sick be healed? Will a deaf person hear? Will a blind person see? Will a captive person find freedom? Will an unloved person find that they are a child of God? Will a resident of Berwick become a citizen of heaven? What signs and wonders will there be as God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven? Can you be a backpacker for Jesus this week? Can you travel light in a foreign land, keeping your security at home in heaven? Can you proudly carry your culture with you, the culture of the kingdom, on your mission from heaven to earth? Now I know, does anyone want to be reinvigorated in this mission and to take it? Does anyone want to down some tools to lighten up their load as they travel? Does anyone want to walk in signs and wonders from their citizenship in heaven? If you want one of those things, I'd love you to stand up and I'll pray for you now. Lord, we just thank you that your tool is one of love, not a big rubber mallet. Thank you, Lord. And so that's what we anticipate now, is you to do an act of love. And Lord, where we in our own strength can't move on, or Lord, where we've got ourselves so entangled, you will come and sever those cords. So we ask firstly, Lord, that you will give us the mind of Christ. You will free us from worldliness now. We know we'll have to walk this out, Lord, and step this out and put action to it. But we pray now, Lord, for freedom upon us now. We pray, Holy Spirit, you'll do a work right now, transforming us, Lord, that we may no longer conform to the ways of this world. Lord, that with you we have died to the ways of worldliness. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll come upon people now and reinvigorate that mission. We want to see through Brake Vineyard Church, Holy Spirit, the nations being discipled, the gospel proclaimed, Karen being one of many people doing many tasks, acts of service with many gifts, all as a body, all by the one Spirit for the one God. And Lord, we just pray that you'll renew our citizenship papers right now upon us. Stamp them upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that testifies to us to eternal life. He's the seal of that. Holy Spirit, we just pray now that you will empower us, that we may walk from our citizenship, that we may bring the things of God, that we may walk in signs and wonders and powers of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we say together, your will be done. Come kingdom now, we pray. Amen.